Welcome, my friends, to Third John. That's right, you found it. I know you've been searching so long, and here it is, the shortest book in the Bible. Just 219 words right here at the back of the Bible. Don't quit yet. If you leave me now, you won't see how it all ends. So here we go, just you and me and the Bible's shortest book. Now, Third John presents an intriguing mystery. John is writing to a good friend named Gaius, who is a faithful believer dealing with the situation. Church drama. And the drama is all the stickier because it starts at the top. The man in authority is arrogant. Ever dealt with that? Now, once again, we're going to read into the story here to give it color, but always careful to make our conclusions and applications directly from the Bible text. Remember, no frog DNA conclusions. Dig 'em? Let's go. As we unroll the scroll, transport back again over the 100 generations between us, and put yourself in Gaius's shoes. He's a faithful Christian, and John the Apostle is an old friend. All of that is great, but the church is a mess. It was bad enough when persecution came from the outside, but this is within. Malicious rumors are going around, and some people are getting put out of the church just for hosting traveling missionaries, not the deceivers, the ones sent by John. And Gaius is doing that very thing. Missionaries are at his house now because he knows John and he trusts these guys. But now he's in danger from the church. How twisted is that? What Gaius desperately needs is an encouraging word from his old friend John. The letter arrives, and we open the scroll at verse 1. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Gaius is clearly an old friend. You can almost feel the memories of the old days coming through the page as John writes. And with all the lies going around, John grounds his love and friendship with Gaius in the truth. I don't think we fully appreciate truth until we see what lies can do to Christian love. Verse 2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. John's greeting is personal and caring. He wants his friend to do well, both physically and spiritually. And I love that little phrase, even as your soul is getting along well. Brother, I hope your body and soul are feeling stronger every day. Verse 3. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling me how you continue to walk in it. John got word about the church, and it included a lot of drama and mess. But when they told John about Gaius, Gaius is doing well. Many are deceived, but Gaius is faithful to the truth. He's walking in it. Oh man, I can't tell you how much it warms my heart when I hear about someone listening to Through the Word and walking in the truth. It's why I do what I do. John 2. So in verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. What a verse. It's a repeat from 2 John verse 4, but so worth repeating, worth memorizing. The joy that comes from knowing that your kids, anyone that you've taught and guided and discipled, that your kids are walking in the truth, living it, making God's truth the pathway for their lives. Verse 5. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. So Gaius is hosting traveling missionaries in his home. John sent them, and Gaius gave them room and board so they could go about their ministry. Verse 6. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. That's key. Welcoming God's messengers is a way of welcoming God, and the manner in which you treat them is an opportunity to honor God. Verse 7. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought, therefore, to show hospitality to such people, so that we may work together for the truth. Notice that John says almost the same thing he did in 2 John when he warned them not to show hospitality to deceivers. Either way, you share in their work. So be discerning. The messengers Gaius hosted are genuine. You can tell because they're not taking money from the pagans, or as Paul puts it, they don't peddle the word of God for profit. Mission work does require financial support, but when money becomes the motive, that's dangerous. These workers aren't in it for the money, but for the sake of the name. Their motive is God's glory. They live and serve in such a way as to give Jesus' name a good reputation. Think about it. What do non-believers think of Jesus' name based on the way you live? Sadly, there are many who give Jesus a bad name. Verse 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. Now we get to the problem, and John begins at the root, Diotrephes. We don't know his role or title at the church, but when John wrote a letter to church leadership, Diotrephes stopped it. Clearly, he is in control of correspondence and decisions, and he is abusing that power. Why? Nothing says more than that little phrase. He loves to be first. Ambition is great, but mix it with pride and you have a deadly cocktail. Someone who loves to be first is always dangerous. As a servant, they're envious. As a leader, they're arrogant. Woe to the church that gives authority to arrogance. That one dangerous little description lies at the root of 10,000 church problems and fractures and splits. He loves to be first. First note that this is the opposite of Jesus. Jesus lived and taught us to live, putting others first. Take the lowest seat. Arrogance in church should be an oxymoron, but it gets in. Arrogance loves a crowd, and when it sees that pulpit, ooh, it's like a magnet. Give that arrogance authority, and trouble is bound to follow. Back in verse 9, Diotrephes will not welcome us. As in, will not welcome John, the apostle. Why? For a man who wants to be first, John is a threat. He may be old and humble, but everyone knows he outranks Diotrephes. Warning sign number one, when someone in authority refuses and resists any authority over them, that's trouble. So what do you do? What will John do? Verse 10, so when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing. Okay, so this may seem obvious, but two simple solutions. Bring someone outside with authority and bring attention to what they're doing. Arrogance is always concerned with appearances, always talks big and covers weakness and mistakes. Jesus can cover sin with his blood, but the church should never cover sin with a pulpit. It will fester under there. John says, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Warning sign number two, malicious nonsense. What a perfect description. Ever hear a story going around about yourself and say, what? Nonsense is one thing, but malicious means harm intended. Diotrephes wants to control the narrative before a higher authority shows up, so he spreads some juicy rumors about John and anyone he sends. Back in verse 10, not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Arrogance is always trying to maintain control, stay in power. So Diotrephes spreads rumors and condemns anyone who might challenge him or host someone who could. Imagine the church casting people out for speaking the truth. It happens, but what a big surprise it will be for Diotrephes when John shows up. Verse 11, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. I love the simplicity of John's direction. Imitate good, not evil. Want to know who to follow? Watch how they live. Don't let the pulpit fool you. Arrogance is as arrogance does. Same goes for the guy in the mirror. Need an example of doing good? Verse 12. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. Gaius is in a pickle, and he needs to know who to trust. How do you know? Ask for testimony. Ask people you already trust. When someone is truly living it, people know. Even the truth itself testifies about someone who walks in it. Verse 13, I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. I'm sure that's a relief to Gaius. I imagine his letter to John was a wishing you were here to deal with this mess kind of message. Dealing with church drama can feel lonely and isolating, but you have friends. Dealing with church drama can feel lonely and isolating, but you have friends. Call for outside help. Bring authority. And keep walking in the truth. The truth will testify about you too in the end. Verse 15. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. And there you have it. Short book, long story. Read 3 John for yourself. And did I hide more Chicago songs in 3 John? Will you still love me if I did? I would apologize, but it's hard to say I'm sorry when I'm not. Blame Taylor. It was his idea.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.
Okay, for those of you crazy enough to find all the Chicago song titles that we Easter egged in the series, it may help you to know that we start on day 2 and we have 19 songs in 3 guides. Interesting note, if you extrapolate that ratio into 4 days, you get either 25 or 6-4, depending on how you round. Check the math. And mic drop.